There we go. Now, when we talked about tithes and offerings a while ago, if you don't remember about now that we are doing also about our indoor arena. So if you, when you give for that, be sure that you put on the check that it's for the indoor arena. And for those of you who don't know, that's our next ministry project. That's a huge ministry because then not only will we have the outdoor arena that people rent. See, a lot of people don't know that ministry is in that arena. Ministry benefits our church because it's our church is just an outreach from this church. So we have people renting that all the time, giving riding lessons and riding and play days. And so if we have an indoor arena, then we can use them both. And when the weather's bad, that place is going to stay full over there. So be sure and put on your check for the indoor arena for building fund if God puts it on your heart. Amen? Amen. We're going to dismiss the children and big children's are out. Okay, so regular children's and big children's on the count of three, we're going to dismiss you. One, two, three. Woo! Amen. Oh. Let's pray this morning because I feel we need to pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for that word. And devil, we bind you from this place. You are not welcome here, and we command you to flee in the name of Jesus. You will not alter or touch this service or this church or these people. And we command it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We just love you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, sometimes you just get that feeling and the Holy Spirit's going, pray, pray. We have to learn to be in tune with that because sometimes you don't really act on what the Holy Spirit's trying you to do. Because as you grow in your walk, when the Holy Spirit does that, it's like, oh, is that me really? Or is that, you know, you question, don't question, do it. If it's good, then you do it. If you know it's the right thing, you do it. Amen? All right. Well, this message this morning, you know, Pastor Corey has been, we've all kind of just building off what he wants us to build off of. And last week he was ministering about the name that's above every name. What was that? Oh, no, somebody ought to say it with more heart and conviction than that. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, when we say Jesus, it needs to come from here. Amen? And so I've been praying, where am I supposed to go? And as Corey ministered, and I had several notes, and like he said last week, that's the third time I'd heard that message. But I told him that even though it was the third time, it was still different. And I got something different out of it the third time. And so God said, you need to go to John. So everybody go to John. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Father. Praise you. John chapter 10. And I'm not new at ministering as anymore, but it still amazes me sometimes that the Holy Spirit goes, this is where you need to go. And I'm like, what? I mean, you know, really? I'm going to... Because this started out as the Holy Spirit saying you need to minister on John 10:10. And I went, but we all know that, you know? And the Holy Spirit says, you don't know it. Okay, I don't. Teach me. So then, this morning it changed again. And not only does it need to be John 10:10, but we're going to start John verse 1. Amen? Everybody found John chapter 10? Amen. All right. So it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. See, back in those days, when they had a sheep pen, it was real high walls. It wasn't like what we think about with the wire and all that. They didn't have wire back then. So it was solid. And there was one entrance, was the gate. So they had to go over the sides if it was a thief or a robber to try to get to the sheep. Amen? But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Man. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When I was reading that this morning, that word porter stuck out. So I started praying. What does that mean? And I started looking it up in different places. And if you look at that word in the Amplified, it says, the watchman opens the door for this man. The watchman. Several places, one place I found said the guardian of the gate. But the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going, okay. Sheep, and it's Jesus is talking here, and he's talking, you know, we're going to get to it, but he's talking about his sheep, about us, y'all. He's talking about that the sheep know his voice. But we've got this person that's watching the gate, and the Holy Spirit said, that's me, the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus gave us that Holy Spirit. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. So I'm telling you what I was given this morning. The Holy Spirit is our gate watcher. When we learn to hear that gate watcher, our watchman, our guardian, y'all, then we learn that we're following Jesus and doing what He wants us to do. You understand? That's what we just talked about is, are you here in front? Did you hear the Holy Spirit and you didn't act on it? Yesterday, Laurie and I had run up to HEB. And she was going, we had the dog, which she was going to stay in the car. And I pull in, and there's three guys over here in this car, and it wouldn't really start. And one gets out, the driver kind of got out and came around and got in the passenger side, in the back seat, by himself. And I'm like, Holy Spirit's going, you need to move. You need to change spots. And I did. You see, I don't know what they were up to, but obviously the Holy Spirit felt like, I needed to move my wife because I was going to leave her in the car by herself. And so we don't know what would have happened if I'd have left her there. But guess what? Y'all, I didn't have to because the Holy Spirit said, do it. And I did it. That's the watchman, the guardian. Y'all with me? And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Y'all get that? He goes before his own sheep. Jesus. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So, there's been questions at times when we hear, and Pastor Corey's ministered on it. How do you know it's God talking to you? You learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you it's God speaking to you. But you have to have confidence that it's the Holy Spirit. You've got to get that part of it. Was that just me? You know, did I just think that? Or hey. You know, Ricky gives credit where credit is due. I'm not that smart to come up with things that the Holy Spirit gives me. You know? But I know people that get things and they go, oh, I did this. I came up with this. Okay. Ain't going to get you very far with that attitude. We have to learn. The Holy Spirit will guide and lead us. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. I love this next verse. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake to them. Do y'all ever do that? Look, you're trying to get something and you ain't getting it? Oh, come on. I'm the only one. That's what I thought. Oh, y'all all get it the first time. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you for a few of you were going. I appreciate that. But see, even they didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. But that's okay, because let's go on, because Jesus is going to tell them another way. And then, everybody say then, said Jesus unto them again. Again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Somebody ought to shout at that. Yeah. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Whew. Now, here's where we're getting to. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm going to stop right there for now. So let's back up and we're going to look at that. And I broke that out. So the thief is who? The devil. It's Satan. But there's others words for him. The arch deceiver. The master of confusion. I wrote down, there's a world deceptor. But all those big words for me is, he's the liar. Amen? He is the liar. Because what he wants to do is he wants to get us off track. He wants to get us off of following what we're supposed to be following. In these end times, we better be on our game more than ever. More than ever. We need to be walking that line. And some say, you know what? It's probably a thin line. No, my line's not. Jesus made it pretty daggum plain for Ricky. This is what you need to do, period. There's no question. There's no argument. This is the line that Ricky stays on. We got to get it, y'all. We don't have time to mess around. Amen? And so the thief wants us to mess around. He wants us to get confused and be deceived. And he wants to lie to us. Okay, so this is a little challenge for some of y'all. Put your hand there in John 10. And you're going to turn to the right a few pages and go to 1 John. First John 5. I'm going to have you do this a couple of times, so y'all will be all right. Don't hyperventilate on me. Because I know some of you don't like to turn pages very often. But I'm not calling any names or anything. Are we there? 1 John 5. Amen. 1 John 5, and it's over toward the end of the book. And we're going to go to Chapter 5, verse 19. And it says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now listen to this in the Amplified. We know positively, everybody say positively, positively, that we are of God. Man, that's good news right there. And the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. The arch deceiver, the world deceptor. The world is under his power. And as I was studying this out, I saw somewhere it said, instead of power, it said the sway of the evil one. And I really like that word, because isn't that what he does? Most of the time, the devil doesn't come in and says, Sharon, this is the devil, and I'm going to try to mess with you. No. He doesn't do that. He comes sideways, tries to sneak up behind you. He sends people in to mess with you. So see, I really like that, how that one said, instead of power, he sway, the sway of the evil one. Amen? So, y'all go back to 10 now. We're good. You can take your place back. In 1 Peter, it says that be sober and be vigilant. I think that's what it says. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Now, in that scripture, it says as. It doesn't say he is. He says as. So that means he's lying. He's trying to make you think that he's got that line, that he's a lion, that his bite is worse than his roar. You see, he, as a roaring lion, he walks about to see who he can devour. Amen? But what you have to remember, that scripture says it all. If you read it right, it says as. It doesn't say he is, because he's not. You should research that word lion further. We're not going there right now, but read and see who the real lion is. Read and see who the real lion is. In Revelations, it talks about that he is labeled the world's deceiver. He's the deceiver of the whole world. I had to look because that didn't want to come in there. So in Revelations 9, he's talking about the devil, that Satan is the world deceiver. Okay, now hold your hand right there. I told y'all we're going to have some fun this morning. I love it. You know what? Hold your hand. Keep you. Don't. But the reason that I do this some, because if you don't see it for yourself, it doesn't seek in. Amen? And so it's okay that we pray. And that's what Pastor Corey says, is bring your word so that you can read along. Don't just take my word for it. You want to see it. Okay? So go to 2 Corinthians 11. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I got hallelujah today, Miss Janet. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. First, we're going to start in verse 13. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I love the way it says it. It says, "For such men are false apostles, spurious counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ the Messiah. And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." You see, that's that swaying thing I was talking about. He doesn't come right in front of you. He tries to masquerade as light instead of the darkness in which he is. "So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness. But," I love this, everybody say but, "their end will correspond with their deeds." Woo, thank you, Jesus. You see, when they masquerade around as something that they're not, then they're doing just what the devil does. They lie. You see, and then they get what's coming to them. Right? All right, so let's go back to John 10:10. So it tells us right here that how does the devil do this? Well, first thing it says he does is he came for to steal. So that word steal in the Greek, it means klepto. Yeah. It made me think of, because I remember when I was a kid, you know, we'd have friends that always come over and they'd take something of yours when they left and you wouldn't find it till later that it was gone. You know, well, oh, so-and-so, he's a kleptomaniac. That's where we get that from. It's to steal. You see, but the devil doesn't necessarily come to steal material things. Oh yeah, that happens. But that's not what he's trying to steal. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal the Word of God. He doesn't want you in that Word of God. So that's the first thing he does, is he's going to try to steal from you. And again, what leads to that is he tries to steal, and what I was talking about, your finances or whatever, when you start getting depressed or he steals your joy, that's when you start doing silly things. And then you start going downhill. And see, he's got you. So that's the first thing the devil tries to do, is he tries to steal. And he uses it also with gimmicks and distractions. Now, some of y'all ought to say amen for that. And I'm guilty of it. I really believe that Satan uses these in the wrong way. Amen? We get these, and it's a great thing. It's just like our finances. It's a great tool if you use it right. But see, Satan will start using it to try to distract you. It's a gimmick. Amen? I know some of y'all don't... Whoa, wait a minute. You're talking about my iPhone. Don't talk about my iPhone now. No, it's true. Because what happens when you have this, and for a lot of people, it steals a lot of time. It steals a lot. Probably some of y'all have turned off what your screen report time because you don't want to see it every week and it tells you how long you were on there. Some of y'all know, don't you? I heard some laughing going on there. See, because when you get that little report and it keeps going down every week, you should be going, thank you, Jesus, I'm winning. You see, because I use it. And there is times when you just goof off on it. I got one game I like to play on here. But when the devil wants to steal, he's going to use stuff like this, y'all. He's going to use it to distract you. Or he's going to use somebody to distract you. He's going to use somebody that might be, claims to be a good Christian, knows the word, but doesn't see how the devil is using them to get you off track. Amen? The devil wants you to not go, oh, wait a minute, well, that person said that, and wow, I hadn't thought of that, and all of a sudden you're going away from what you know is the truth. Amen? The second thing that it says here that he does is to kill. He comes to kill. Now, if you look that up in the Greek, it's a word called thuo, T-H-U-O, and it doesn't mean literally to kill. However, seems to turn out that way to me because of like with abortion and stuff like that. That's from the devil. And he's convinced, it's just what we're talking about, he's convinced people that it's okay to do that and it's not okay. Even people that think they're believers, he's using them to do that stuff, and that's wrong. That is from the devil. But the way this is talking about with thuo is to sacrifice or surrender. Ooh. Well, that's interesting. Because the devil wants us to sacrifice stuff. Or your family. Or your friends. Or your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, the devil doesn't want you to be in those situations where people are building you up. So he comes to kill that, or he wants you to surrender or sacrifice a dream. Man, we've got all young people in here and everybody's still got dreams. And I say that in all honesty. Even you might be my dad's age, who I'd venture to say is probably the oldest one in here. Dad's 85. Somebody might be a little older, but he still has dreams. He wants to do things. But the devil doesn't want you to have those dreams. He wants to kill those dreams. This morning I was thinking and praying and meditating, and it brought to mind there's a lady named Cindy Walker, an incredible songwriter from back in the 40s and 50s, wrote a lot of hit songs, Bob Wills and all that wrote. And there was a song that she wrote, and the word, you know, I'm not a big word guy. I'm the music. I love music. So I most of the time don't listen to it. If the music's good, then I might listen to the words. But this song is called, I'm Throwing a Going Away Party. And it's I'm throwing a going away party for a dream of mine. But in that song, it hit me when I was studying about the devil wanting to kill our dreams. In this song, she wrote a line that said, dreams don't make noise when they die. Wow. Now, I don't know if that moves y'all like it moved me, but when you stop and think about it, something that you've been dreaming for and you've been believing for, and then the devil convinces you that you're not good enough to achieve that, or that you let it go, There's no noise. It's just gone. And I thought, what a line in a song, because dreams don't make noise when they die. You know what? Satan can go back to the pit of hell. You know what? For killing dreams. Thank you, Father. Thank you. If he can't steal it, or he can't kill it, then he's going to try to destroy it. So he's tried to steal it. He's tried to kill it. Now he's going to try to ruin it. If he can't do any of those two, he's just going to flat out try to ruin it. But guess what? I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know that power of Jesus. The name that's above all names. And that when we know that at that name, every demon has to flee. He's not going to ruin my dreams. He can't ruin your dreams. If you're walking the Word, where are you at walking the Word? Let's go on. My headset's coming off. Sorry. Okay, so now, where we just got through, he wants to destroy our dreams. He doesn't want us to possess any of the blessings that God wants to bestow on us. And he'll steal, kill, and destroy. That's what his job is to try to mess up everything that God wants to bless us with. Amen? Now, in my Bible, at destroy, there's a colon there. But if y'all have been around me any time at all, or you've heard me minister or teach Bible study, at this point in my Bible, this is one of those but moments for Ricky. And I read a but in there. Now, it's not in the Bible. I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, so don't go home and say, well, that guy trying to rewrite the Bible. I'm not. This is for Ricky. But see, wouldn't it sound really cool? And to kill and destroy. But I come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly. See, because that word but, if you put anything that you put it after, just negated what was before that word but. So I just negated the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because I believe that but Jesus came that I would have life, and I would have life more abundantly. Amen? Because don't we need to negate the devil? It's time that we start negating the devil. I love the story that Corey tells. Meemaw. And she'd talk about, oh, Corey, don't state the devil too loud. And Corey'd ask why, and she'd say, because he might hear you. No, it's start time that the devil starts hearing us, y'all. It is. Because he's the one that comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But, everybody say, but. That's right, Jesus came. And he came that we, and let's see. Because I studied part of this out. And it says, I am come that they, that's us, okay, that's us, that might have, that word might have, those two words, in the Greek it says to have and continually possess. See, it doesn't say that we're just going to have part of it. Oh, we're only going to have abundant life for January, February, and then over here in March, we're not going to have abundant life. No, that says that we might have means to continually possess. I love that. Because that's God's promise to us. That Jesus came so that we would have life more abundantly. Let's look at that more abundantly thing. Man, thank you, Jesus. More abundantly in the Greek means to be above, extraordinary, superabundant, beyond measure. Woo! Well, if it's beyond measure, I want some of that. Amen? Don't you? You want life more than you can measure? Man, because that means you've heard that story. Live life to the fullest. No, I want to live life like Jesus wants me to. And He came so that I'd have life more abundantly. Amen? That's the way we're supposed to live life. That's the way He intends for us to live life. Man! I want to read, this is in, you don't have to turn here, this is out, but you can. It's Ephesians 3:20. And I want you to hear this in the Passion, because this is good. This is good. This is a good book. By the way, if you hadn't ever, you might get in it some here. Listen to this. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Woo! Man! See, and if you can go, you go look that up in the King James and see what it says, because it talks about the one that came so that we'd have abundantly more. But I love the way it says that, because His power energizes us. You can tell, can't you? See, because I'm fired up. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't you doing that? Why don't you challenge somebody to be energized and let Jesus energize you? How are you starting the day? You know, I know people go, man, I get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Thank Jesus. I was thinking this morning, I was making the bed. Now, y'all don't look shocked. I make the bed every day in my house. Now, and that's thanks to my mama. I was raised that you do not leave your room until you make your bed. So, thank you, Mama. But you know what? It's amazing, because as I was making, and I'm picky. Oh, baby. I pull them fitted sheets. Tuck them in. I hate loose, saggy fitted sheets. You know, because that nothing will ruin your day like a saggy fitted sheet. But you stop and think about it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the way your day is going to be if you don't make your bed first. Not literally, but if you don't start making your day with Jesus when you start, your day is going to be saggy fitted sheets. That wasn't part of the message, but I don't know. But as I made them and I finished making that bed, I thought, you know what? This is like our walk with Jesus. I accomplished something at 6 o'clock in the morning. As I prayed and I made that bed and I put all those pillows up on there all nice and stuff, I felt good. And you see, that's what Jesus wants us to do. That's an abundant life, man. I know there's people, everybody's different. I'm not saying making the bed's for you, so don't go say, well, he said, if I don't make my bed, I ain't gonna. I'm saying, for me. But that's like life can be. You come in and you see a bed that's unmade. Is your life unmade? Are you following Jesus every moment of every day? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Oh, thank you, Father. Praise you. Oh, I'm running out of time. You know, going back to the watchman, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, He left us the Holy Spirit. It's our comforter. It's our healer, our teacher. What the Holy Spirit is for. That's what He's for. When you need something, you ask the Holy Spirit. And then, sometimes you need to just be quiet. You just need to hush. And that's hard for a lot of us. But I promise you, as you walk in your walk, and you learn, the more you learn to hear the Holy Spirit, you will have life more abundantly. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I want life more abundantly. I do. Golly. And when we get a hold of that, oh my goodness, it changes your life. You see, it's a choice. I was laughing. Kenny and I see him on Sunday morning. I just love Kenny because he's always the same. He's always wonderful. And some of you laugh, and it's like, no. You ask him, you say, hey, man, how are you? He said, wonderful. He said, how are you? I said, man, I'm great. He said, you always are. I said, absolutely. Because it's taken me a while to get here too, people. I'm not telling you that I've been this way all my life. Man, every day could have been a new, and it is, every day is a new deal. But now, I told Laurie the other day, I said, our kids probably get tired of hearing me this, but something's wrong, or somebody, you know, oh, we got to do this. And I said, wait, we'll figure it out. Because that's what, we pray about it, we figure it out. There's no use getting upset about it. That's the devil winning if you get upset. If you get frustrated, you can't think. The devil wants us to be confused. The devil wants us to be off in left field somewhere instead of realizing, what is the real problem here? And so, my new saying has been for the last, 7 years, we'll figure it out. We'll pray about it and we'll figure it out. Because it's a choice, y'all. It's a choice to live the life that we live. Every moment of every day, it's not just every day, it's every moment of every day you have a choice. What do you choose? It's your choice. Amen? Gosh, I love y'all. And I thank y'all. I'm going to leave you with this scripture. Romans 16:20. And you can turn there if you'd like to. Such a great, great scripture. Romans 16, verse 20. And it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Yeah, you clap. Amen. That's clap worthy. That's praise worthy. Bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Listen to that in the Amplified. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you. Woo! That's what I pray for y'all today. That Satan be crushed under your feet. Amen? I felt this when we started, but there's people here that the devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you today. If that's one of you, I want you to stand up. Don't be embarrassed. If the devil's messing with you, stand up. Yeah. You see, the devil doesn't care if your walk is strong or your walk is weak or you're not sick or you are sick or this or that. He's going to attack you anytime. And that's what you have to understand. You see, Jesus got baptized, and then in the very next chapter, the Holy Spirit led him to be tempted by the devil. God just got through saying, that's my son and I am proud. And then he's off being tempted by the devil. So if the devil's going to mess with Jesus, he's going to mess with y'all. He's going to mess with me. But sometime we need to be charged up about it. Sometime we need that little extra boost, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Hold up your right hand. Now those of you who are, devil ain't messing with you right now, whoo, glory, that's a good thing. Because in Luke it tells us that when he was through messing with Jesus, he left for a season. That means he's going to come back. So he messed with you for a while, then he leave you alone and kind of let you get, you know, like, oh, everything's cool. That's when you put your guard down. That's not when you should put. You should walk the walk every day, every moment. So I want you to say, I will walk the walk, talk the talk of the Lord. Satan, you get under my feet. You have no right in my life ever. And at the name of Jesus, you, the devil, and your demons have to flee in the name of Jesus. Amen, y'all. Big round of applause. Yeah. If you don't know what having the name of Jesus and being able to use the name of Jesus, that power, that dunamis power, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now's the time. It's never too soon. Because things, the way they're... If you haven't looked around, y'all, you better. And if you don't know where you're going, if you died today and you don't know if you're going to heaven or hell, then it's time you know. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we never do a service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You see, Jesus came and He died and He was resurrected for us, for our sins. Thank you, Lord. You see, He came so that we would be made righteous. He took upon sin so that we didn't have to. That's the kind of God we serve. One that loves us. That sent Jesus to die for us. Oh, man. And if you don't know, right now is the time. I'm telling you. And we're not going to do anything crazy other than I want you to pray right where you're at. And we're going to say this prayer out loud. And I'm going to ask the believers in here to say it with us. Because we need to be leading people to Jesus, y'all. We can't just do it in church. We need to do it everywhere we're at. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, I want you to say this prayer. And believers, say it with them, because you might be sitting next to somebody. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe that you died and you rose and you went to heaven for me. Father, I believe that there is a heaven. And I thank you today. I made that commitment to come to heaven. I thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed, before we say amen. If you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you just said that prayer out loud. On the count of three, I'm going to have you just hold your hand up and put it right back down. We want to get a Bible to you. But never be afraid to acknowledge Jesus in front of man. Because Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before the Father. So right now on the count of three, if that's you, get your hand up real quick. We're going to give you a Bible, then put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? All right, y'all. Amen. Look at me. Thank y'all so much for letting me minister to y'all. It's always an honor for me. And it blesses me so much. And I am so thankful for y'all. And I'm going to have Miss Sharon come up and close us out this morning.
Let's give Ricky another hand, all right, because he brought the word today. I love these people so very much, and they mean such a great deal in my life, and I think they mean a great deal in your life. And I want to just say that they are heading for Vegas. Ricky and Laurie, Jane and Daryl, to meet Corey and Jamie there to bring that city of sin to Jesus. We're going to support him this morning in doing that. Now, Ricky doesn't take a salary at this church. He preaches to us out of the love of his heart. And because we love him and love his family and love the Lord, we want to bless his socks off this morning. So right here, it belongs to Ricky, this one. The other two are for the church. But I ask if you would come forward this morning and give to Ricky and his ministry. Make checks out to Ricky Bowen Ministries, B-O-E-N. I think million is spelled M-I-L-L, or you can use a B, but, you know, whichever one you want to do. But thank you, Ricky. Thank you for the word this morning. And I just want to remind everybody, we've all had a wonderful time, I think, with family and Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving shouldn't be one day a year. So let's go out with Thanksgiving, and I'm going to go home and put up my Christmas tree. What? So, Glory, let's have a wonderful week and be right back here. Tuesday night Bible study, you won't want to miss it. That's the kind of word we get at Bible study. You don't want to miss. All right, Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the moisture we got. We thank you for the time of fellowship that we've had this morning. Father God, I just thank you for safe travels for everyone that is returning home or the ones that are leaving. I thank you that our pastor and his family are traveling safely toward Vegas with a way stop in Arizona to talk to people about Jesus. Father God, I just thank you for this family of God's people that we have together here. I thank you that the word we heard this morning goes into our hearts and into our lives, and that we never let the devil steal, kill, and destroy, but that we look to God and look to you in all ways, Father God. And I love you so much. Thank you for loving me first. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be back to sell water, but give me time to get there.